It is so good to be here with you all today. Wonderful thing is that almost my whole family is here. So we got over here my wife and my six kids. They're all over here. And behind them is her sister and brother-in-law and two daughters. I only see the other ones up in front here. And Asia is my daughter. The lights are shining. My daughter Asia right there. And then David Clark, my father-in-law. And then over here is Granddaddy Don Barber and Aunt Donna, Aunt Tina, and my mother-in-law Sharon. So they're all here. So I better do a good job then. My wife told me as I went out to bring her in that my clothes don't match, but my daughter told me that they did. So you all can rate me on Instagram or something later. How was his outfit? So I have a couple things I want to show you all before I get into this. I'm having a fun time being with you all today. Not normally do I have to preach twice in a row, so this is kind of fun. You can fix the mistakes in your sermon the same way. Anyways, I have these on a table back there. This is right here. This is a booklet that we had made up that just when people want to partner with us, it just says just about everything about us. So if you're interested to know a little more about us, there's this. We have these cards back there too. Some people like just take them and stick them on their fridge or something so they can remember to pray for us. It also has some information on there if you wanted to support us monthly. And then I have a thing back there. You can sign your name and address, phone number, email address, and we will send you monthly updates if you would like to get that kind of thing. If you don't like my outfit, then don't sign it. But if you do like the outfit, sign the paper. So anyway, so let's get into this. We went to Thailand in 2001. Met my wife in Bible school, and we got married. I was in Trinidad at the time doing an internship. Came back in, all of our relationship before that was all done on Instant Messenger. In those days, it was this little, I think it was Juno, right? You know what Juno Instant Messenger, I think is what it was called, you know, with the dial-up, the ee, you remember all that stuff, it's all, and so I remember this, my favorite sound was the sound of this door opening. Y'all remember that? Anybody here remember that? Okay, so the door would open up. I'd hear that, and I was like, okay, Mary Beth's online. So it was, so we did most of our relationship that way, some very expensive phone calls. I came back to the States in August 2001. We were married on the 1st of September 2001. In November, we moved to Thailand as newlyweds. I'm not saying that I would suggest anybody do it like we did, but it worked for us. And we now have six wonderful kids. They were all born there. We've lived there for about 20 years in Thailand. We came back the end of February 2020, and we could not get back because of COVID. So we've been here ever since. Around January last year, we were able to get back, but we decided to stay because my oldest daughter, Asia, is going to be going to Asbury next week. We'll be sending her over there. Is there some Asburyans here, I guess? So she's really excited. We're super excited for her. A little sad that we have to leave her behind, but really excited for what's coming for her. We do church planting in Thailand. It's kind of been our focus ever since. We focus on those places where nobody's going to. We try to find what we call a person of peace by doing some evangelism, prayer walking. We find somebody that is open and interested, and we begin to walk with them, and as they walk towards Jesus, we disciple them into the things of God. And usually when we find that person that's open to us, that's interested, and not just interested, we have three things we kind of look for. They're interested, and they're hungry, and they're sharing with other people. Those are the three things we're looking for in the person of peace. So if they're just interested, well, we'll just kind of walk with you for a while. But if you're interested, hungry, and you're sharing what we give to you with somebody else, we're like, okay, this is a person of peace. They're opening up their community to us. Then we pour into that person and train them to reach other people as well. And we did that the last few years. We were in northeastern part of the country, and we saw a lot of fruit, a lot of people getting saved. About 22 groups kind of exploded really rapidly, and we focused mainly on about 7 or 8 leaders that we would pour into on a weekly basis, and they would reach into their neighbors and communities. So the idea is The Great Commission is go into all the world, right? Go into all the world. So sometimes I think we got it backwards. We're like, bring them to our church so they can get saved. But actually, if you find somebody that's hungry and they want to know Jesus, you lead them to the Lord. That we can do that. It doesn't have to be the pastor or the elders or the deacons or the missionary. It can be anybody who is filled with Jesus. You have Jesus in you. You can lead somebody to Christ. And only can you lead them to Christ, you can disciple them. You can walk with them as they walk with Jesus. And that's why we take that as go into all the world. We go. We find somebody who's interested. We go to their home. We go to their places of business. That's where we want to go. We want to go where they are. As they are, all the mess that they are. And it's messy. I'll tell you, it's super messy. And we go and we reach them in their place so that we can reach those that are around them. Instead of bringing them into our place, say, okay, come here into our building and we'll train you. We go to them and then it gives us opportunity to meet, you reach grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles and their kids and the husbands. And the strange thing about Thailand is it seems like the women come to faith first and then the men seem to follow after. So a lot of women come to faith and they lead their other people in the family to Jesus. So that is, in a nutshell, what we do. And we've been doing that for about 20 years. It's kind of changed a little bit over the years here and there, but it's basically been our same focus. We've been trying to disciple people so they can disciple people, so they can disciple people, so then it can multiply. Rather than just adding a few here and there into our gathering, we want to see lots of little gatherings multiplying all over the place. So that's our vision. And that's what we've seen this working better than just about anything else that we've ever done. And so, yeah, that's it. And I don't know if you all know this. There is currently, in this world, 3 billion people that are unreached. 3 billion people that are unreached. A lot of people don't know this. It's a lot of people. And we have an opportunity, and we have the privilege to reach them. Jesus told us, he gave us that great commission just before he went up into heaven. He said, this is the last little piece that I'm giving you. This is what I want you to do. Go into all the world. Teach them to observe all the things I command you. Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. We go into all the world, and we teach them to follow Jesus. That's for all of us. That's not just me. That's not just pastor or elders or deacons or evangelists or preachers or whatever. That's for all of us. That great commission was given to all of us. Those 3 billion people in the world, they're all of our responsibility. We have a responsibility to reach them, every single one of them. I appreciate, Kent, your heart in wanting to make sure that you give to missions still. I really believe this. This may sound a little bit harsh, but I really believe that if a church is not focused on reaching the unreached and fulfilling the Great Commission, I believe they forfeit their right to exist spiritually. That's the reason we are here. The reason that we are called into the kingdom of God, the reason that we are blessed, the reason that we have what we have is because he wants us to take that and give it to somebody else. You know, if I was one of those people that love to eat this wonderful Kentucky food that every time I come here, I feel like I gain a few pounds. So if I just eat, and then I never exercise, I never do anything else, I'm just going to get probably pretty large. You know, I'm going to be really out of shape. I'm going to have poor health if I do that. But as children of God, if we just come and eat and eat and eat and take and take and take and get, it's all about me, bless, but we never give what's been given to us, then what happens to us, we become sluggish in our faith. And what used to be a vibrant faith, an excited faith, has become kind of cold because we're not exercising it. We're not giving. That's like one of the biggest parts of who we are in Jesus, is to give what we've been given. Freely we receive, freely we give. But a lot of times we miss that part of it. Sorry, I get this little catch in my throat, so I got to drink this warm water once in a while. A lot of times we miss the give part. We get real focused on the get. You know, sometimes it gets to be a bit of a spectator sport. Y'all know that song, Jesus Take the Wheel? Y'all know that? I'm sure y'all have heard that. I was kind of thinking about that this morning. That song, I don't know if it's correct. Because So see, you're coming into it again, Matthew. So Matthew seems to come into my sermons a lot. And the other day he was talking to my daughter Asia about driving. And he told her he was with his daughter one day, and they're at this intersection, and she was going to pull out, but she was being hesitant. She didn't know if the cars were coming. She's just waiting for just the right moment. Well, the car behind her was impatient, starts blaring the horn. And so she kind of goes, he's, no, wait, you're the one driving. You're the one in control of this vehicle. You go when you're ready. Don't worry about him. Don't worry about anybody else. You're driving this vehicle. You go when you're ready. And you know, it's kind of like that with us too. We're actually the ones driving the vehicle. We're the ones that put into drive. We're the ones that push the accelerator. We're the ones that press the brakes. Jesus is riding there with us. He doesn't take control. We're the ones who have control. Okay? He's in charge. He's not in control. God doesn't control people. I have a good friend of mine. He was saying that, he's talking about controlling people. This is Kong Tam. That's what Thai people say. This is free. This is added on. And so he said that the God of the whole universe won't control people. We don't have a right to control people. So sometimes we feel like we are in control of everything. We want to control this person, that person, this thing, and that thing. We want everything to be under our control, and God doesn't even do that. So stop doing that if you do that. Now I lost track of where I was. Well, so I'm going to read you some stats here. See, that's why I shouldn't rabbit trail, because then I forget where I was going. So there's 3 billion people in the world that are unreached. 3% of the missions force is working to reach the unreached. Just 3%. 400,000 missionaries in the world, only 13,000 are working among the unreached. Wow. Thailand's population is 70 million, and they have about 61,500,000 that are considered unreached still. The gospel has been in Thailand about 200 years. There's millions of people that haven't yet heard the gospel. So it's kind of a fun thing and kind of a grieving thing at the same time when you talk to somebody and they're like, who's Jesus? Never heard of him. Remember one time this one lady said, oh, Jesus, he was born in a tree, right? I said, no. They know nothing. You know, so you're starting from square one a lot of times with a lot of the Thai people that we share our faith with. You know, I was thinking about, let's look at some scripture. I think I want to go here. We'll just jump right into this. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. So this is actually going a different route than I did earlier. I guess that's okay. If it's not, well, I'll say I'm sorry later. Okay, so what we have here is the temple is being rebuilt, or supposed to be being rebuilt at this point. And I'll just start here. So it's in the second year. I'm starting at verse 1. Actually, let's start down at verse 3. So then the word of the Lord came to Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Talking about the temple. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. Not that I'm saying it's good to get drunk, but nobody laughed at him. Okay, so there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it and be glorified. So what's happening here is these guys, you know, they got these houses. They're building these houses. You know, when I say paneled houses, I just think of that, like, fabricated paneling stuff. I'm sure that's not what it was. But that's the picture I keep getting in my head. But they were making their houses look nice. They're making them look beautiful. They're putting more into it. They're expanding them, making them better. And he said, what are you doing? We're here to build the temple. Why is the temple not being rebuilt? Why are you focusing so much on your own homes, but yet here the temple is and it's fallen to the ground, and this is what needs to be rebuilt? And the Word of God says that we are His temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in us. The Spirit of the all-living God, that He created the heavens and the earth, everything we see and know. He put breath into our lungs. He made us who we are today. These people are building their houses and making them nice, making them better. Why are you forgetting about building the house of God? And I feel like a lot of times we do that with ourselves. We get so busy about so many different things that we forget about, let's focus on getting close to Jesus. Let's focus on getting so on fire for Him and so full of Him and so consumed with Him that we are just so consumed with His kingdom. So concerned with what He wants to do in the earth. Having a little bit of a hard time. Sorry, you all. Might have to get my wife to tag team with me. Okay. Here we go. I think we're ready. So, we can focus on, I think it's gone. My voice just went. Okay, what do you got for me? Cough drop, that might help. Thank you, Asia. This is my amazing daughter, Asia. Okay, we good? I think so. Alrighty. So what I'm saying is a lot of times I feel like we get so focused on the wrong things. There's a guy named Leonard Ravenhill, he used to say, this is a dressing room for eternity, that's all it is. So everything we do is between the time we're born till the time we go to eternity. That's what we're here. We're dressing. We're preparing. Everything we do is for that day we go to be with Jesus. So we need to invest in those things. Invest our lives. Invest our energy, our time, our prayers. We live this life completely consumed with Him and His kingdom. We're building the kingdom of God. We're not so focused on building our own kingdoms that we totally forget about building His kingdom. I went through this really rough time. Our whole family did. We've been through a lot of traumatic events. I'll spare you the details, but it's been a lot of very traumatic things. 20 years on the mission field, living in some of the hardest places, having demon-possessed neighbors and people threatening to kill us. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. And you kind of get these different traumatic events that happen. There's a bombing at the airport that I was just there just after it happened. The tsunami happened. We helped do cleanup. And there's just some things that you see and experience. They just cause you trauma. And what happens is you begin to formulate new theologies that isn't biblical based on your experiences. Well, these bad things happened to me, and now therefore God is really like this. Or God is not like this. He's not good. He's not for me. He's not protecting me. And so then we start trying to control things and keep my family from doing this and keep my family from doing that. And the fear kind of begins to take hold. I'm not going to reach in people like I used to. This one guy, he was helping me kind of work through some of this stuff. He said, it's like you got this cup and these traumatic events that keep pouring into it. And you're just ignoring them. You're not dealing with those things. And eventually it just kind of pours over and gets all over everything. And I hit that time, and I was just completely discouraged, and I couldn't think about anything. My family, they have this thing they call it stress paralyzed. I think it's a thing. I don't know if you've ever been stress paralyzed, but that's the way we were. We felt like we couldn't do anything. There's just been so many things that were just so challenging and so hard, and we felt like we just wanted to give up. We didn't want to go anymore. We didn't want to do it anymore. I'm just done with this. I want to go back and just live a normal life in America, whatever that is. But in the end of the things, you just You keep going to Jesus. You keep going to him. You keep going to him. And you let his word begin to be the one that molds you and creates the thoughts that should be there rather than the thoughts that the world is telling you to think. And then before long, you're just like, you know what? My life or by death, my life for the gospel. I'm going to go to the ends of the earth, do whatever you want me to do, go where you want me to go, speak to the people you want me to speak to, just because that's what it's all about. You see, this time we have here is short. This goes by like that. You know, people that I talk to that are older than me, they'll say, hey, take every moment you have and take it seriously because it goes like this. Before you know it, it's all over with. Your kids are grown up, they're off to college, they're married, you're retiring, whatever that may mean. Things move on and it goes fast. And so we want to take every moment we have and everything we have with this life, we want to make it count for his kingdom. We want to build up his kingdom, his temple, and not focus so much on our own paneled houses. Now listen, I'm not saying it's bad to have a nice house. Please don't misunderstand me. Actually, I think there's a lot of people in here that you should have a nice house. Go for it. Be successful in business. Make money. Some of you are gifted at making money. Do that. Make money. Some of you are gifted at inventing things and creating things. Go do that. But do it for the glory of God with the focus and the purpose of we want to be generous. We want to give. We want to go. We want to pray. We want to do whatever it takes so that we can get to these 3 billion people so they can know Jesus. Have a chance to hear just once. And that's what it's about. It isn't about all of us going. If all of us go, who's going to send? But it is about all of us having a part to play. All of us having a piece that's ours. All of us jumping into the kingdom of God, whatever that may mean, whatever it is for us, with everything we have and giving everything we have. It's about surrender. It's like the thing I was telling you about the car. He said, don't listen to them. You're in control. You're the one driving. But then we just surrender and we say, yeah, wherever you want to go, Jesus. This guy was mentored me many years ago, and he said, Brian, God doesn't steer a parked car. You can't park it all the time. You got to move that car, put it in gear, begin moving forward. And then he says, okay, go over here. All right, go over here. And this is a wonderful journey, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's not easy. I'd be lying to you if I did. We have these leaders that we've been training to go out and reach their neighbors and stuff, and this one day, they come every week with these amazing testimonies of miracles and just amazing things, people getting saved. And so we said, what is the gospel message that you're giving to them? And they said, oh, they call me Ajahn. Ajahn, we just tell them, come to Jesus and everything's going to be wonderful. I said, that's all you're telling them? Yeah, we just tell them, come to Jesus and everything's wonderful. Well, that's, you know, there's a lot more to it than that. And not only that, it's kind of not true. Because a lot of times it isn't always wonderful. A lot of times it isn't always easy, and there's suffering, and we go through hard times, right? And they said, yeah. And I said, so tell them the truth. So we actually worked through the whole gospel presentation with them again. We let them do it. So they came with a very indigenous gospel presentation at the end of that. I'm going to finish up here with a quote I want to read to you all. A guy named C.T. Studd. He was a missionary in India and China and Africa in the late 1800s, in the early 1900s. He was just an amazing man of God. If you ever want to read about a really neat missionary, C.T. Studd is a great one to look into. They had these, you know, those days they had these ships with the big masts, and the, you know, the Navy and the military, whoever would go out these ships. A lot of times it would take their their colors, their flag, and they would nail it to the mast. And what they were saying is, I'm going down with this ship. You know, I'm not giving up. I'm not. There's no surrender. I'm going. I'm not giving up, no matter what. And so C.T. Studd, he said this. I love this quote. My kids have probably got it memorized because I've read it so many times. Nail the colors to the mast. That is the right thing to do. And therefore, that is what we must do. And do it now. What colors? The colors of Christ, the work he has given us to do, the evangelization of all the unevangelized. Christ wants not nibblers of the possible, but grabbers of the impossible. You know that God really wants us to step out of the possible into the impossible. It's not hard to live in the possible, things you can touch and feel and see and things that you can fix. It's not hard to live there, but God really wants us to step out of those things, the things that's possible. I can work all this. I can fix it all. I can do it all. I know exactly what to do. And he wants to step in the impossible, reaching 3 billion people that have never heard the gospel. Impossible. I'm telling you, I've been there. It seems impossible. But in that impossible situation, all of a sudden, bam, God shows up. Wow, that person just got saved. Wow, that person just got healed. Wow, look at this whole family just got baptized. And it's all because I said, yes, I'm stepping into the impossible. I'm stepping there because I know that I serve a God of the impossible. I know that through my God, nothing is impossible. I feel like he wants that in all of our hearts here today. You know what the number one thing that God is interested in your life? It isn't so much what you do for him. It's that you are made into his image. That's what he's doing. He's working on us and calling us closer and pulling us up higher because he wants us made into his image. He wants Jesus so much, so consumed. We're so consumed with Jesus that that's all we do. Everything is focused on how can we reach people. Everything's focused on how can I draw near to Jesus. Christ wants not nibblers of the possible, but grabbers of the impossible. By faith in the omnipotence, fidelity, and wisdom of the Almighty Savior who gave the command, is there a wall in our path? By God, we will leap over it. Are there lions and scorpions in our way? We will trample them under our feet. Does a mountain bar our progress, saying, be thou cast into the sea, we will march on. Soldiers of Jesus, never surrender. Nail the colors to the mast. Another thing he said, some wish to live within the sound of a chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Oh, I like this one too. This is a good one, especially in the days of COVID. True religion is like the smallpox. If you get it, you give it to others and it spreads. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, heaven of heaven and earth. I thank you that you are here with us always. Thank you that you're filling us with your power, with your authority, with your love, so that we can go out and touch the world with that love. I pray right now, Lord, you would just reach in deep into all of our hearts, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would just pull us into that place of ultimate and full surrender to whatever you've called us to do, whether it be that we give, whether it be that we go, whether it be that we pray, whatever it is, the peace that you have us, but you would just write in our hearts the unreached to this world, those who have never heard, not just in our communities, but throughout the country and throughout the countries of the world. Even right now, Lord, you just begin to drop calling into hearts in this very room. Just calling, you just whisper it in their ears. And you put in them the courage and the boldness to step out and do that thing that you've called them to do. Lord, I just pray right now that you would just stir in our hearts, your vision, your what we'd hear, what you hear, and see what you see for the lost of this world. I just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Before we go to communion and offering, I just wanted to ask you a question. Because y'all are driving your car. My question is, whose voice is the voice that's telling you where to turn, what to do, when to go, when not to go? Are you just listening to the world honking at you all the time? Because I promise you this, the world wants you to listen to them. They pay buku dollars to make sure you listen to them. There are advertising messages everywhere. There is news that pops up on your phone to try to make you stressed and worried. There are a million things driving you. It's driving you to success. Some of you, it's driving you to depression. Some of you, it's driving you to greed. Some of you, it's driving you out of your mind. But there's one voice that really wants you to listen to him. But I promise you this, he's a gentleman. He doesn't need you to listen to him. You need to listen to him. You need him. So he's never going to force himself on you. He's going to, like a gentle, kind father, say, hey, You don't have to listen to that. You're the one driving the car. This morning, I just want to ask you, whose voice have you been listening to lately? What has been driving you? What has been that undercurrent in your motives? What has been the thing that has filled your cup that has started to write your story for you? What is it? Because today, if I know one thing, that quote about nailing your colors to the mast, it's time, church. It's time. I want to ask you to write a check today, and not a physical check, but a check with your life that you sign to God that says, God, it is all yours. I am all on the table. If you're really good at making money, go do that and then give your money away for the kingdom to advance the kingdom. Some of you in here, I am convinced, I've been praying, I've told you this, I've been praying for months and months that God will raise up some missionaries from our church that our church could start to support and send. Some of you have that call on your life and you're afraid to do it. You're afraid to take the step. Write the check today. You don't have to cash it. You don't have to deposit it today, but write the check today. Jesus, it is all yours. My life is the check and I write it to you. Wherever it is, I'm telling you, there are unreached people and at Toyota. There's unreached people at McDonald's today when you go. There's unreached people in Thailand. There's unreached people in Iran. There's unreached people in China. They're all over the place. And it is about Christians finally getting our hearts in that place where we go, Jesus, you're the voice I'm listening to. I'll drive this wherever you tell me to go. And we go. We just plain and simple go. So what are you going to do with it today? This morning in a moment, you'll have time to just go visit with Jesus. It's one of my favorite things about our church is this ability for you to just spend time with God. It's not about what happens up on the stage. It's about what happens with you and him. You'll go to these tables. There's communion there where you can take, and you will take this emblem that reminds you of his blood and his body, that his body was broken for you, that his blood was shed for you, that he stepped out of eternity. He gave up all that he had to come after me and to come after you. That's why he did it. So you'll go remember that sacrifice, remember that check that was written for you so that you could write a check back to him. And can I just tell you, this is also the time where you can give your tithes and offering. And when you give at Harmony, every time you give, it goes to help people like the Steuben Rocks. Every time you give, it goes to help people who are unreached and lost. That is what our heart beats for. And in our staff room where we do our staff meetings, we have this board and it has a picture of everybody who's been baptized since we've gotten here. And I'll be honest with you, I love that we have all these pictures. I wish that it was like 10, 20, 30, 40 times more than what we have. But we have these pictures and on it says, who's next? Who's next? Because I love the saved. I love all you who are saved and love Jesus. But you know what I love even more than the saved? I love getting together on a team with the saved and going back into the back country of hell and taking people back from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Don't you love that? Don't you love it when somebody gets baptized? Doesn't everything in your body just want to scream when you see somebody come to know Jesus? It doesn't happen because of me only. I have a role to play too, but it's like Brian said, we all are players on this team. We are all out there, and it is every place that you work, every place that you walk into, you bring the kingdom with you. You advance the kingdom by living for God and loving people. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you, as you go to this time of invitation, to go partake of communion, give your tithes and offerings. And then I want to invite you, if you want to and you feel called and compelled to come up here and just get on your knees and pray. Because I think it really does start with us praying and just going before the throne and going, God, there are 3 billion people. 3 billion people. Jesus, use me. Here's the check. I write my life to you. Whatever it takes, I want to see them reach Jesus. This is your time. Whenever you guys are ready, if you're online, we'd encourage you to join us in prayer. Whenever you're ready, go ahead and go partake. This is your time.